Hello, and we welcome you once again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. These Bible teachings are being brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Church Hill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We are in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we have this hand car washing business. We use this business as a way to promote and get these verse-by-verse Bible teachings into your ears. You can hear them on WMCH, that's 1260 AM radio in Church Hill, Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. You can hear them by coming to the parking lot and turning on 107.1 FM as they play on a loop throughout the day. And you can also go to the washandword.com website to hear and download any of our previously recorded messages. And so again, you can support this ministry by coming out to the Wash and Word, letting us clean your car. And, we adhere to the scripture that says, whatever it is you do, do it for the glory of God. And so we wash cars for the glory of God and for the sake of getting verse-by-verse Bible teachings into your ears, because we believe that the verse-by-verse Bible teaching method is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for all that this world will throw at them and all that God has for them to do. We are equipped through the Word of God, all of the Word, in its entirety, not bits and pieces of it, not a verse here and a verse there, but we read all of it, leaving nothing out, and we hear what God has to say. So, with that introduction, let's get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We just finished a three-part series, if you will, talking about the seven things that Jesus said from the cross and how they all represented something deeper in the spiritual sense. And so Jesus just bowed his head and gave up his spirit in verse 30 of chapter 19 in the Gospel of John. So let's take a look at the very next verse, 31. It says, now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Let's stop right there, because there's something interesting in here as to why he did that. This crucifixion, it was a Roman death, but it affected the Jewish culture, in as much as that it was defiling to have these bodies on display during the Sabbath day, especially the Passover Sabbath. But here's the interesting connection. Even though it was a Roman death, it affected the Jewish people. It was a secular Roman death affecting the spiritual, godly people. And the connection here, if you can't see it, is that whether you like it or not, secularism, that is the world and all of its ways, affects God's people. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And so the way the world operates, the things that the world adheres to, whether they be wrong, right, or indifferent, they affect us as God's people. And so, not wanting the bodies to be displayed for the Sabbath, they asked if they could have the legs broken and have the bodies removed. Now, if you're not familiar with the crucifixion, when you hung on a cross like that, it was very difficult to breathe. Most people die not from blood loss, not from pain, but asphyxiation. They were unable to draw air into their lungs because of the way the crucifixion and the way they were held on that cross. They would use their feet to try to push up, and while they would push up, they would be able to draw in a breath of air. And so their crucifixion would be extended as they were able to push up and continue breathing, which why anyone on the cross would want to extend that is beyond me. But by breaking the legs, they were now unable to lift their bodies up to take that breath. And essentially, a broken leg on the cross was just a matter of minutes before your death. But, you know, it just goes to show the twistedness of the human hearts. You know, if you think about it, here they are not wanting to defile the Passover, and they were willing to just put aside yesterday's events, Put aside yesterday's sins. Put aside the fact that they just hung the Lord of the universe on a cross. And they did this because they didn't want to offend the Lord on the Sabbath with those pesky, bloodied, murdered bodies hanging around on the cross. And isn't that just like us today? Sometimes, even as Christians, we just put aside the sins of yesterday and then play holy because it becomes Sunday morning. Man, I can't tell you how many people sit in the chairs of our churches on Sunday morning, and if you were to know what happened the night before on a Saturday night, it would be appalling. But that just goes to show you that we are so quick to put aside the twisted sins of yesterday and play holy on the Sabbath day, just like these people were willing to do. They were not even looking at the fact that they just killed this man, did all this stuff with the bogus trial, all of that, because, oh, they want to play holy because now it's the Sabbath day coming up here. It's just the twistedness of the human mind and the human heart is sometimes mind-boggling. Let's get back into our scripture. Verse 32 goes on to say, "The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look upon the one that they have pierced." Stop right there. So they get to Jesus, and he's already dead. He had died quicker than they expected, quicker than the other two that were hung next to him. And again, this just merely proves that he had power over his life, over his spirit, that he had power to fulfill the word of God. And the word of God said that he would not have a broken bone in his body, but his joints would be all come out of place, which happened on the cross. And to fulfill scripture, we see that he was pierced. But what came out? When he was pierced, we see that it was blood and it was water. Now, why put this in here? What does it mean? Is it symbolic that when they pierced Jesus' side, blood and water poured out? You better believe it is. Well, there's also a scientific and medical explanation as well. And some people need to see things on a medical and scientific level before they can understand them. But then, of course, the spiritual symbolism, was obviously the blood and the water had to mean something. Well, as we all know, blood is for atonement. It's been that way since God set up the laws back in Exodus. And then water is the symbolism of purification. We see in Acts 2:38, Peter saying, "Repent and be baptized." And there we see the blood and the water being connected. There's a lot of connections between blood and water in the New Testament regarding to the new covenant that Jesus brought through grace. 1 John 5:6 says, "This is he who came by water and by blood." And we know that blood equals life. The blood was the life of a thing, of a person. And water is equivalent to the symbolism of the spirit. So by blood and water, we're seeing life and we're seeing spirit. And this further ties in its symbolism. When Jesus proclaimed in John, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then he says, "Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from them." So we see again the connection between Jesus's blood and the water, whether it represents baptism or cleansing or the spirit flowing through us for power. The blood and the water were essentially connected to one another. And we see these two often together throughout the New Testament. The blood atones and the water washes. This is why the baptism and repentance were always connected. But again, you know, medically speaking, if you need to know about why the blood and water came out, there's a legitimate, natural, and medical reason for this event to take place. When you cut yourself, what happens? Blood comes out, right? And doctors tell us that this release of blood flowing in that direction, one direction, as it flows out of your body, it's actually an aid, a God-created aid to help keep infection out, because it flows outward and the infection won't get in. But what do we always read on the Band-Aid label right before, and we put it on? The Band-Aid directions, if you will, always says what? It says to wash the affected area. And it's interesting that the blood keeps the infection out. The blood is purifying us, but we still, before we cover it and take care of it, we wash the affected area. So we have the blood and the water working together to keep out infection or to keep purity in place. Together, they attain restorative health. And this symbolism is the same thing, that in a way, in a spiritually speaking, we have a we attain restorative health, both physically and spiritually, by the water and by the blood. Now, that was a crude and quick explanation of all that takes place. There is a there's more to it than that, but it probably doesn't need to be drawn on that. I'm hoping you got the connection between the water and blood, as it's said there. So let's continue on. Verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man earlier who had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two men wrapped it with the spices and the strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. Let's stop right there. We're going to spend the rest of our time together in this teaching talking about these two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both religious, respected leaders. But let me ask you a question. What's the first thing you think of when you hear the words, "I'm coming out of the closet"? Now, don't answer that, but I think we all collectively think of somebody who's now bringing forth something that they previously had kept hidden. So by coming out of the closet, so to speak, these two men were kind of doing that. You see, they were secret followers of Christ leading up to his death. Both these men were now, as we say, coming out of the closet. For years, they followed Jesus. They believed in the things that he said. They acknowledged who he was, but they told no one. And I wonder what changed. Why all of a sudden are they not afraid of what people were going to think of them? Why come out now and claim the body and wrap it in a Jewish burial tradition? You know, I'll tell you why. Because both of these men realized that the religious structure of the Jews at that time was bankrupt. In fact, I'll take it one step further and say that all man-made religious structure is bankrupt, for the simple reason found in that statement that it is man-made. Friends, religion is man's attempt to reach out to God, and it's bankrupt. It's a failed attempt. But what do I teach? What do we teach when we go through the Bible? The same thing that Paul taught, that it was God who reached out to mankind through Jesus Christ. It was God who reached out with a personal relationship. And while religion is man's attempt to reach out to God, Jesus was God's attempt to reach out to man. And when these two men finally realized that the religious structure of man is never adequate to have reconciliation and communion with God, they said, you know what? This is a bankrupt religion. This is a bankrupt theology. This is a bankrupt method. And they said, we're coming out because we believe in the Son of God. Friends, I'm encouraging you today, step out into your belief in the Son of God. Let somebody know today that you are a Christian with your mouth. Verbalize it and bring it forward. Have a good day.